Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
In the grand calculus of the multiverse, their sacrifice means infinitely more than their lives.
Let's just say I think the universe is telling me that some fates are inescapable. And even if I could get out of mine, it might just fall to someone else.
It's their fate.
Crackcast.
Awesome.
Live from New York, it's Sunday morning.
I mean, that's
like
all
a third
accurate.
From New York.
Yeah.
All right, let's hit the opener because we got a lot going on this week. Let's hit the opener and then we'll talk about this. This is funny.
Welcome to Trackcast, the Klingon podcast. This is where we discuss everything Klingon, from Ballas to Kalis to Stovalkor, right here on Trackcast, the Klingon podcast.
This is kind of long.
Oh, yeah.
It'll trail off.
Yeah, we can talk over it now.
This is funny, though, specifically because we won't talk about Klingons today, other than our house was dishonored. The house of Trekcast this week was dishonored.
Yes.
And I want to talk about that very... briefly and then move on.
That show that you cheat on us with.
It's kind of an inside story. I can't believe he did that. The opener of that show, he put in a thing about it being better than all the other podcasts, including Trekcast combined. I'm like, what the hell? So
let everybody know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So on my other podcast, Echoes of New Eden.
Yes, folks. Yes, he has another podcast.
I do.
Mm-hmm. He's a two-timing bastard.
That's right.
The other host of that show that I do that with, Rambo, made a new intro, and in it he throws a little bit of shade on Trekcast, all in good jest. But that means we've upped the ante, and so last week I threw down, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, I threw down that we needed some fresh intros, we needed some fresh outros, we needed some fresh bumpers, all that kind of stuff. And there's our first challenge, ladies and gentlemen, to put one against what Rambo over on that show just did by dishonoring our house here. So. It's the latest episode that's up there. You can go listen to it. Just if you're not going to know anything about what's going on that show, but if you listen to the first, like, I don't know, minute and a half, 2 minutes, you'll hear it. It's in the intro.
Yeah.
So, then you'll get what we're talking about. So, and I know we've got one listener who's currently working on a bumper for us. I gave him
Trekcast
that to use. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he does with it. Anybody else who wants to work on these, we've got to have a response. We got to have a response to Mr. Rambo over there. So who would be the arch nemesis of Rambo?
Wasn't it Brian Dennehy?
Wasn't it
communism?
Yeah.
Okay, so we don't want to be communism.
Or wasn't it also like the way veterans are treated in the United States, like he didn't like that.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to be the VFW. We can't. I don't know how we can have a stance against that. I don't know. But we need to have
something.
It was
also the Oregon police.
We would have to be the KVFW. We're the Klingon veterans of
there you go.
Wars.
There you go. Yeah. So come
Wouldn't
up with
the
whatever
Klingon,
you want.
Like the Klingon VFW is just they kill you. Is like then that gives you an honorable death.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. The Klingon VFW is probably like a society of shame because it's like here's a bunch of old Klingons who get together and drink and talk about how they didn't die in battle.
Correct.
Right.
And that is how the KDF was born.
Mm-hmm.
That's all the KDF is.
But I imagine like those older warriors would be like basically a great private army that you could hire, like a Ferengi merchants could hire them to protect their ships or whatever.
Yes.
I mean,
how old are they? What are we talking about here?
I don't know. Klingons age like slower than humans.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Little bit.
Like not much different.
It depends.
But a little bit.
It depends. Are they main cast Klingons or are they background
Klingons? Oh, that's true. Yeah. And are they JJ Klingons or are they new Trek Klingons? Or...
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, speaking of which, Romulans have ridges.
Yes. They are ribbed.
Ruffles have ridges. Romulans have ridges.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So I was thinking the same
Indeed.
Thing with the Ruffles. That's good. Yeah, so we got a lot to go over, a lot to hit. It was the season finale this week of the first season of Strange New Worlds. What an excellent season. What an excellent last episode to leave things on. So we'll get into that in the main topic, as always, Dan Yol has the news.
That's me.
Oops, wrong one.
Whatever. Just go from comicbookmovie.com.
It's going away. Hold on.
Panel in Hall H.
There it goes.
Yeah.
Now it's away.
So
sorry.
Basically, on Saturday, July 23rd, from 12:45 to 2:15 Pacific Standard Time, Star Trek is going to be hosting a panel discussion in Hall H if you're going to Comic-Con this year. They're going to be talking about Star Trek Picard, Lower Decks, Strange New Worlds. It's going to be moderated by Leah Thompson, so that's kind of cool. They are saying that in the Picard panel, Patrick
the
Stewart will be
guy?
There. Yeah. Picard? Yeah. Patrick Gates, or Gates McFadden will be there.
Patrick Gates.
Along with Alex Kurtzman. Yeah, Patrick Gates. And Rod Roddenberry will be there as well.
Ah, nice.
Lower Decks is gonna have the main cast as well, and Strange New Worlds will too, along with New Kirk, who we will talk about later, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's also going to be a Star Trek experience there, a little pop-up thing. They're calling it 10 Forward. It's a fully immersive little bar where you can get all sorts of little drinks. And they're also going to have an ice cream truck that will be serving out a Wrath of Pecan flavored ice cream sandwiches. So that'll all be there in San Diego. So if you're going, one, you're lucky, but two, there you go.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
When we were switching up all the names there. And you said Rod Stewart. I just ruined it when you said Rod Roddenberry and then Patrick Stewart. I was waiting for Rod Stewart to
emerge.
But
yeah.
Yeah. That's how my mind works, people.
I can't even think of a song by Rod Stewart that I could quickly sing. Should I?
It was a long way getting from back to there.
Well, that too.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there you go.
Anyway.
All right. Well, our next news story comes to us from Trek News. And the first six Star Trek movies are getting 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray releases. The original Star Trek The Motion Picture will get its own release independently. But then they're also going to release a full collection, or all six, the first six original movies. So that's the original Motion Picture, Wrath of Khan, Search for Spock, The One with the Whales, The Final Frontier, and Undiscovered Country. So everything comes out September 6th. So, yeah.
I would like to find someone who has been a Trek fan from the beginning, and I would like to know how many different formats they have bought these things on, because
you
know,
someone somewhere still has a Supermax, I bet,
or a Laserdisc.
Laserdisc, yep. Yeah. So VHS, yeah. Supermax, Laserdisc, DVDs, different format, different high def, Blu-ray, you know, all that. I mean, geez, you probably have the entire set like five times, maybe five different formats.
Yeah.
That'd be my guess. That's not that
well,
much.
Well, and then even digital's not a guarantee that you have it forever, because there's a thing going on right now with, Sony, the PlayStation thing. Yep. Yeah. It's only like in Germany, I think it is, and one other country.
Yeah, it's Germany like and one other country. And it was, you know, hey, you bought these digitally, and come such and such a date, they're not going to be available anymore.
Right.
So did you really buy it then?
Right.
Or were you renting it this whole time?
An extended rental. So, yeah.
So I don't know. This, you know, I see this push from time to time. People are pushing, you know, physical media again because of stuff like this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, my advice is
be made.
Yeah, my advice is don't buy digital, just stream. And if you can't get it somewhere because of the stream or whatever, just rent it and be done with it.
Yeah,
because you just don't know what the hell they're gonna do. You just don't know what the hell they're gonna do. It's a digital asset is still an asset, but somehow, some ways, the way this has all been set up for the last 20 some odd years, it's not. So it's bullshit.
It's a house of cards, baby.
Yeah.
I was full on physical media for a long, 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 long time. Mm-hmm. Still have a wall full of DVDs. I have, you know, all of Trek up through the JJ movies. I have all that on disc. Mm-hmm. And somewhere along the way, it was like, well, I don't watch this stuff enough anymore to justify buying the new stuff. So, I mean, I don't have any of Discovery. I don't have any of Picard. I don't have any of Lower Decks and all that. And, I mean, it's all available right there, streaming.
Right.
Right.
But you know, who knows what's going to happen in the future. The future.
Yeah, I decided a long time ago not to go down this I started to. I started to just switch everything over to just buying it digital so I could watch it anywhere, and I'd have it, and I would own it, and I would never have a problem with it. My whole library of all that physical stuff would be gone, and I could sell all that off and just have it digital, and that was great. And then I realized very quickly into that was a trap, and I didn't want to play that game anymore. So I mean, it's been a long time since I bought anything digital, movie, or music-wise. It's all just to stream it.
This will be a fun game. What is the last movie or show you have purchased, either digitally or physically?
Oh, to buy it?
Yeah, you actually purchased it.
Shit.
Or last one that comes to mind, at least.
That's easy. I mean, I don't remember the exact title, but I buy shit for my kids. Because there's a DVD player in the car, and, you know, when we're going somewhere and it's a long ride and I don't want to hear it... I popped a disc it, so it would probably be Lego Batman movie or Paw Patrol or something
like that.
Something like that. Yeah,
that makes sense.
I think I did break down and I broke down and bought the Ghostbusters movie before it even was able to be watchable on Apple TV. I did buy the digital copy of that because it was through Apple TV. It's with Apple TV, and if there's any one of out of all those services that I trust and never break that ability for me to be able to watch something I purchased from them, it's probably Apple in my mind. But that was the last one I ever did that on. And I very rarely will I do that, break that whole thing. But Ghostbusters was great. So,
you mean the new one?
Yeah. I bought it on disc, though. He bought it, digital. I bought it on disc.
Yeah, I broke
it. Yeah, he bought it from Steve Apple.
I did buy it from,
Yeah,
I did. I mean, you know, out of all the companies when it comes to that kind of stuff, I would, if any of them is actually going to do the right thing, it would be Apple and they can do the right thing because they have gigantic deep pockets and don't care. But they can also do the wrong thing because they have gigantic deep pockets and don't care. So who knows?
That's right.
You know what the worst part is? So many of these DVDs, when you buy them, you get the digital copy with it.
Yeah.
The little thing is in there with the 16-digit code. All right. I probably have 100 of those inside. I have never redeemed one of them. Not one. I've also never thought ahead to, like, put them on Craigslist or something and sell them to somebody else and maybe recover some of what I just spent on this disc. But
yeah, that's a good idea.
Whatever. They expire, so they're probably no good.
In our on-air chat, Hipster Spot goes, at least it's not like Star Wars where they have 50 versions of A New Hope. Taryn comes back and says, my favorite Star Wars A New Hope, Maverick. Because Maverick is basically A New Hope.
They're kind of getting that way with the remakes or upgraded special effects on motion picture.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, our last news story comes to us from StarTrek.com. I mean, I don't know if it's really a news story, but I just thought it was kind of fun and people would want to know about it. They have released a Star Trek Prodigy digital coloring book. And so that's something you can just download. It's completely for free. It's like 12 pictures, and you can download it, print them out, color them, whatever you want. If you want to give it to your kids, if you're an adult who likes to color, whatever you want to do, it's there for you.
Yeah.
All those characters that I don't know because I don't watch that show.
What show? What show is it?
Prodigy.
Prodigy.
Progeny?
Progeny, yes.
Oh my God, you two. Prodigy.
Yeah. It's about Janeway's lizard babies and how they're living alone.
Prodigy. It's about Doogie Howser.
Yes.
And his
Doogie Howser.
It's about the internet in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, his 1990s computer.
That's right. With the green screen and just.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny.
So there you go. Right. So that's cool. That's all the news stories.
Awesome. Now, so my soundboard is totally different because I had a new phone and I had to redo this entire soundboard. So that's why I had the wrong news clip. So I guess we'll see if I have the wrong feedback clip. But here we go.
Oh, no.
It's like the first time. Hailing frequencies. Open.
That's the wrong one. Because we do topic first and then we go to feedback.
See, son of a bitch. Okay, here we go.
How much longer till we get there?
Another 6 hours.
Della Ferengi to return to his cabin.
Yeah. Let's just get to feedback or topic.
But that one says getting back to Trekcast. I cut it off because you started talking, but that was on purpose. Yeah. Daniel's like, I'm not having this shit this morning. All right, so we're talking topic.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is Strange New Worlds, the season finale of season one. We already know season two is going to be coming in 2023, I guess, not in 2022, I don't see why they would do it this year. So next year for season two, this latest, obviously, it's episode number 10, A Quality of Mercy, directed by Chris Fisher, written by Henry Alonzo Myers and Akiva Goldsmith. So this was a fantastic episode, first off, and it really kind of tied a couple of things that have been going on all season long, right back. Ties it right back into the very first episode, really. But everything else that's going on as well, and the weight of it.
It also tied it back to Balance of Terror, the original TOS episode.
Yeah.
In the Will Wheaton show, they did a side by side comparison of several sequences, and they are shot for shot from the TOS episode.
You gotta be honest. I watched Balance of Terror last night as I was going to sleep. Yeah, I fell asleep a couple times, so I may have missed a couple of things, but I did watch it, and it was interesting to see, you know, how the two stories were woven together. There is one missed opportunity that they had with this episode. Balance of Terror, the Klingon commander, or excuse me, the Romulan commander, was played by Mark Leonard, who went on to play Sarek for the rest the rest of Star Trek. So we have a Sarek. We have a current Sarek in these shows. you know, I don't remember. Do we see him in Strange New Worlds or do we just see him on Discovery? I don't remember.
I think just on Discovery.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it would have been a cute little Easter egg to have that guy play the Romulan,
Romulan commander
in this in this episode. I think it would have been a nice Easter egg that, you know, people would have picked up on. But it, I mean, it was fine. It was fine without it.
Yeah, that would have been cool. I think probably the reason they didn't do that was they did shoot this during the pandemic. I bet they had thought about that, and like to get an older man across the border during the pandemic, you know, probably wasn't something they'd want to really do.
So Taryn just pointed out in the on-air chat who that Romulan commander is.
Who's that?
Can you guys, because I don't think you guys can see the on-air chat on
Discord. Oh, is it Taika Waititi?
No. It's the main ambassador from on Galaxy Quest of the aliens. Damn it. What are the thermites or thermians?
The termites,
yeah. It's the main guy.
Balthazar.
Yes.
Balthazar.
Yeah. It's that guy.
You are my friend.
By Granthar's hammer. He shall be avenged.
I didn't really pick up on that. Oh, it's not him. It looks like him. Oh, shit. Now you're telling me I'm wrong. Somebody. I thought you posted that, and I'm looking at him, and it looks exactly like that guy.
And
you said it's not him,
somebody.
But it looks like him. Well, shit. Thanks. You screwed me up, Tara.
Yeah, everybody's somebody. So it's not him?
No, I guess it's not. Boy, it looks like him. You posted a picture of him, and it said in another reality, I could. You just trolled me live on the show. Good job, Taryn.
Nice. Good work.
Excellent work, yes. Boy, it looks like him. God, it looks like him.
We need to send Taryn some cookies. That was excellent trolling.
Yep, excellent trolling. You get a cookie.
Yeah, I'm going to look it up, see who this guy is.
I don't know. It looks just like him, dude. I mean, it's
Dan
hilarious.
With his army of phones as he's on one phone.
That's it.
Googling on another phone.
And we wonder why sometimes he loses connection in the middle of the show.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He's got to constantly check his Lost Dogs in the Neighborhood app.
Yeah,
They're all safe.
That's it.
Yeah. Let's see what else. This episode, we got to see the maroon uniforms.
The monster maroon, yes.
Yes. And that was cool, I thought.
Does anybody know, where does that name come from, monster maroon? I've heard it called that so many times, but.
Yeah.
I don't know
why it's called that.
I think it came from people cosplaying it and how hot it is. And even though everybody wants to wear it, it's just such a hot, difficult uniform. And I don't know, maybe that saying came from
I thought it was because it was a monolithic color compared to what the series was. Mm. How they all had different shirts. And then
I don't know.
For a full uniform to be one.
You're just straight up making shit up now. You don't even know.
I'm just guessing. Yeah.
Yeah. That's my guess too. I have no clue.
Yeah.
I've just heard it called that for like forever.
It's probably just a term people came up with, and then it stuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Kind of like Smurf.
So I gotta ask, what did you think of New Kirk?
Oh man,
it was pretty good.
Yeah.
So contrary to what Daniel said, he said everybody is somebody. Yeah, that guy's nobody. He's nobody.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Yeah, he's not in
the guy who played the Romulan commander's nobody?
Yeah, he's in a bunch of stuff, but
Yeah.
I don't know. Nothing I recognize him from.
Yeah.
So. Okay. Fair enough.
All right. So what was the question?
Jim Kirk. What do we think of Jim Kirk? I don't know. I thought it was okay. I don't think it was knocked it out of the park. I don't think it was bad either. I just think it was okay. I think my only two nitpicky things that I would have for this version of Kirk is, one, he's a tad bit skinny. But whatever, I don't think that really matters. And he's not, maybe it's just because it's early in his career or the different timeline that they were in or whatever, but Jim Carrey Kirk, exactly. Every time I looked at him, I kept thinking of Jim Carrey playing Kirk.
A lot of people said that.
Yeah, I can't help it. But, I mean, that's, so what? The acting was fine. He wasn't very forceful. He wasn't very brash. It was more of a version of Kirk that is the smart Kirk than a true full version of Kirk, right? Because he does some very smart things in this episode that Pike is just totally unable to even think about. But
you have to realize that 98% of the time that we have seen James Kirk, he is 100% in command.
Yeah.
And he was not for this entire episode. He was the junior captain on the scene.
Yep.
So he had to follow the lead of Pike. So, I mean, that may go into it somewhat. The other thing is, you know, this guy, I can't remember his name, the guy who's playing Kirk.
But he's
got a tough job because he's got to play this iconic character. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he's constantly fighting a battle in his head where he's saying, am I playing James T. Kirk or am I playing William Shatner? Which one am I playing? And I have to make sure I don't go too far in either direction. Excuse me. Either direction, because you don't want to be perceived as, oh, he didn't play Kirk. He played William Shatner playing Captain Kirk. And if instead he does it too Kirky, he's not playing Captain Kirk, he's playing a caricature of Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, I'm sure he's also got it in the back of his mind that who's the guy who played him in the
Chris
JJ?
Pine.
Chris Pine's performance in the back of his head, who, you know, as much as I have problems with those movies, I think he did a great job of doing just that and finding the balance. And, you know, there were a few key moments where you could tell he's like, all right, I'm going to Shatner this up.
Yep.
Just to make it memorable.
I think there's a couple things to consider. One, this was an alternate timeline where, you're right, he's not fully in command. So he may not have had all the experiences that the prime Kirk we know, who would have a little bit more swagger and a little bit more authority and all that. So I think that's one thing. Another thing too is, honestly, you're right. This guy is in the footsteps of two very great past performances. And for us to come here and say, yeah, it was fine, is actually high praise because it so easily could have gone the other way.
And so they did a very smart thing here that we had no clue they were going to do. We saw this image of Kirk sitting in a captain's chair before the season even started, and we're all wondering how that was going to fit. And they fit it in a way to where it matters. It matters a lot, but it actually doesn't matter because they could actually get somebody different to play Kirk next year as well. You know what I mean?
Right.
So however this guy was received or is received in terms of the halls of Paramount and what they think he did and how well it went off and all of that determines whether or not they'll bring him back as Kirk again, because they don't have to. They can put anybody in there as Kirk and it won't change a damn thing.
This is how they tested out Pike. They threw
pretty
him
much
into a couple episodes, see what people think of him, and there
pretty
you
much.
Go.
Yeah, it's pretty smart, really, from that standpoint.
Yeah.
So,
I hope we do see him again. I like this guy. I do.
He's okay.
I do.
He was. Go ahead.
He was forceful when he needed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he flat out told Pike, "You flinched, man. This is
your
fault.
Yeah.
You fucked this up."
Yep.
Yeah. That's true.
You're right. He did.
And I couldn't help but feel like Pike's response was, you know, yeah, but it's not real. I'm in an alternate timeline.
A little bit.
A little bit.
His response was like, one second. Yeah.
What did you think of the disembodied Scotty voice?
That was cool. I was waiting to see him, but that was a good way to do it, so you don't ever see him. That was excellent. Back to the Kirk thing. One more thing about Kirk, and it's the other little nitpicky thing. I didn't see any of Kirk's mannerisms. Doesn't mean that they necessarily had to be there. I guess that's fine, because we're seeing him at an earlier stage or a different timeline or whatever. But I didn't really see Kirk mannerisms. I didn't see a sly smile. I didn't see, you know, any of the same types of gestures or, I don't know. It just felt like somebody else playing Captain and his name happened to be Kirk, you know. But it was okay.
He's not the alpha in this episode, right. though. That's and a true. Lot of Kirk's mannerisms are alpha mannerisms.
Yeah.
And honestly, he was there to be a part of the story, not to be the story.
True.
So if he took a lot of those things, that it would have detracted.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch the show with the closed captioning on?
No.
No.
Okay. So for the Scotty voice, all it said was Scottish accent, and then it didn't say that it was Scotty. So,
they have to have a new chief engineer because, you know, they don't have one. Maybe they do, and they didn't even say anything, right? I mean, we know Himmer's gone. He's pretty much gone for good.
It was interesting to look at. So what was this, like 7 years in the future? Is that what it was supposed to be?
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
So it was interesting to take note of who was there, who was still there, who wasn't there, mm-hmm. but also whose performances had changed a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I felt like Spock was more Vulcan-like.
Yeah.
In the alternate timeline. Like, it's 7 years later. I'm controlling my emotions even more. I'm emotionally detached from things. Mm-hmm. More like TOS Spock, not the Cage Spock.
Yeah.
The other thing I noticed, which was, you know, I kind of like this. I really like Ortegas.
Oh, yeah.
I really like the character.
Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, one thing that has bothered me throughout this season is she runs her mouth a little too much on the bridge,
mm-hmm.
and it comes off as disrespectful to the captain. And I really enjoyed the point where he turned around and said, "Shut the fuck up. I gave you my orders. Follow them."
Yeah.
And you know what? He didn't do that. He didn't even do that. He didn't use any of that language.
No.
He just repeated. He told her, "Stand down." She kept running her mouth, and he just said, "Stand down."
Yeah.
And it was it was the way he said it.
Yeah.
Like, why am I having to say this twice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just enough.
Yep.
Space Dad got pissed.
To show her there is a line and it's back there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's back there. So.
But apparently in the last 7 years, he hadn't done that to her.
Exactly. Right. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
She has what they showed us. She has progressed, and she has gotten more and more comfortable running her mouth like that being put in check. And I'm wondering if this is a tiny little storyline that they will address next season in that he recognizes from his experience going to the future, recognizes that this is an issue.
Well, and that's why she's still on the bridge. That's why everybody else has, you know, moved up in rank or done this or done that, but she's still just a helmsman on the bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because she runs her mouth or has issues like that, right? So Leon's gone. She's on another ship now.
She obviously wasn't in Balance of Terror.
Right.
So it was a different helmsman running his mouth to Kirk. Mm-hmm. And Kirk put him in his place right away. And said, "Leave your bigotry in your quarters."
Yeah.
Yeah.
I won't have it on the bridge. But there were other things, like, you know, Yeoman Rand wasn't there.
Nope. Mbenga was still chief medical officer.
Mbenga was still there. So I'm wondering if, I mean, and I don't know the history of Yeoman Rand, but I don't know. Did she come with Kirk? Was she with him on his previous command and came to the Enterprise? I don't know.
I don't know.
Something I noticed. She wasn't there. Nurse Chapel wasn't in Balance of Terror, but she was in this.
Yep.
So
yeah, it's, you know, that part's okay.
Yeah.
I did like
I'm not saying it's not okay.
Yeah,
I'm just pointing out the differences, and you know, it's you know what would have been cool? Oh man, they missed an opportunity here.
It's about us something. Yeah, what's that?
They missed an opportunity. Okay, so, you know, since 1982, we've been Star Trek has been having this argument about how does Khan recognize Chekhov? Chekhov wasn't on the Enterprise,
right?
In the first season, and some people said, yeah, but, you know, he was working in engineering or something. So, Balance of Terror takes place in season one, and they're showing showing us an alternate version of this story. They should have put Chekhov in the background somewhere to firmly establish that yes, he was on the Enterprise season one.
Yeah.
I mean, that would have been good, but then you got to explain who's this guy. And,
they got to call me with these things. They can't just write these episodes without us. Come on, guys.
They could have done it where they dropped in, you know, his voice somewhere over comms for some reason, this, that, or the other. Just the way they did with Scotty.
That's the thing. It could have been, you know, Scotty was off screen in a Scottish accent, helping Spock repair, and there could have been someone with him with a Russian accent. That's all they had to do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
his bad Russian accent on the close captain.
Yeah.
Just, you know, hand me the Hydra spanner in a Scottish accent, and you know, here you go, sir, in a Russian accent. Boom, done.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's all it would have taken.
That's all it would have taken. Yep.
Yeah.
Or just a name drop.
Anyway, that too.
Yeah.
I did like the Spock. Go ahead.
I was gonna say I really loved the episode.
I did like with Spock when we see the Romulans revealed and everybody turns to look at him and they zoom in on the camera on Spock and all Spock does is raise one eyebrow, just like Leonard Nimoy. That was perfect.
Yeah.
That was perfect. And I think they intentionally, obviously, you know, they wanted to make him more Vulcan by this time too, but there was a weird juxtaposition there where Pike doesn't seem to understand what the hell's going on. Why is Spock acting like that? That was kind of comical as well. He doesn't really understand everybody's current state of play. And especially when he's goes to the future initially and he's trying to marry two people. red alert. Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Which that was right out of Balance of Terror. That was the opening scene in Balance of Terror.
Yeah.
Ready for this wedding, and they go to Red Alert right as these two are getting married.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed how they they kind of set up the menagerie again, like make some of the things that happen make a little bit more sense. You know, future Pike basically tells him, you know, Spock is very important to the fate of the universe, and you know, if you save yourself and the kids, he dies every time. And we see him with his leg blown off. I mean,
that's horrible.
He was messed up.
Yeah.
He was messed up pretty bad. And you know, when they reset everything, you know, Spock even says to him, I feel like I owe you a debt or whatever. I don't remember the exact
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
there was something like that. And I have a feeling they're going to discuss it at some point in the future. But it kind of solidifies why Spock is willing to sacrifice his life, his career, and potentially his life to bring injured Pike to Talos to live out the rest of his days. You know, it makes a little more sense this way.
Yeah.
It does. This is the big standout thing from this whole season. The writing on it has been fantastic.
Yeah.
They really did their homework.
Will Wheaton show.
Yeah.
Yeah. They said on the Will Wheaton show that they would watch clips of Balance of Terror right before shooting so that they could match it up perfectly.
Yeah. Very good.
Mm.
So my one gripe... My one gripe has got to be Klingon time crystals again. I hate the whole idea of Klingon time crystals. I think it's a cheap writing tool, but I also hate how they have somehow decided that the Klingons are the guardians of the timeline, and that, you know, if Pike didn't, Pike had to convince them to let him do this himself, or they were gonna, I don't know what they were gonna travel through time and kill these cadets with Batleths to set the timeline right. It's like, these are Klingons. These aren't temporal affairs. These are Klingons. What, the Klingons don't give a shit about time travel.
Well, maybe that's how they're gonna set up Section 31 with Ash and Michelle Yeoh. Well, time agents with the Klingons.
My understanding of these time crystals is not necessarily that you can change time as much as you can see where the branches of different decisions. So, like, it's more to help you make a decision than...
Right, yeah. So it doesn't make sense as to how Pike is even there with it.
Yeah. I mean, old, you know? Pike traveled through time.
And space.
He absolutely 100% traveled through time with his future jacket on, which I love.
Right.
Yep. So that's the one thing about this episode, I was hoping we were going to get to that, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Everything that we've heard about the time crystals so far does not point to them being able to allow you to travel through space and time. They just show you your future.
Okay. So in the Will Wheaton show, they said that the time crystals let your consciousness inhabit.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Your own body in another point in the timeline. So who's to say that Pike wasn't there physically, but in his mind he saw it, because it's the older version telling the younger version, hey, here's what's going to happen.
Magic, blood, and mysteries of the mind. Okay.
Yeah.
God damn, I don't know, man. They were sharing a drink. I mean.
Well, all in Pike's head, yeah. Kind of the way at the end, well, all of a sudden he's talking to Kirk, but he's talking to the Kirk that was there with him 7 years in the future, as if he was right there on the in his room. That threw me for a loop for a minute. I was like, what the hell just happening here? Is he not going back to his time? But then all of a sudden you get that screen wipe and you see the couch and Kirk isn't sitting there anymore. So it kind of, then it kind of made sense. And maybe that's the case. It's just all in Pike's head. And nothing was actually, you know, the old Pike didn't actually travel through time or whatever else. But it still is kind of, that's a little, well, I mean,
yeah, I don't know.
I guess that's one thing that I've wanted out of Trek a lot lately, which is the just show and don't tell. And this episode, on the terms of that side of it, they don't tell us anything about it or whatever. It just, they just tell us how it happened, and that's it. So
there were two people in that room, because old Pike poured himself a drink, drank from the glass, and then when there was a knock at the door and he disappeared, young Pike picked up the glass, and before he took a drink of it, he thought twice, like, oh, I'm drinking from someone else's glass. Oh, wait, but it's my glass, because it's just another me. Yeah. And then he took a swig of it. Yeah. So there were two people in that room.
I mean, maybe it was like Fight Club, where he did just pretend to see somebody else. And so.
Well, if that's the case, we shouldn't talk about it.
Yeah, we shouldn't talk about it. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. You could take that a couple different ways. At the end, it doesn't really matter. It was a great episode, even with that big what the hell's going on kind of moment. Where are some of these other images that I got? I guess that's all I've got is those. I'll just leave.
No, he was physically there. He was physically there, because he brought him a time crystal.
Oh, and it was still there. It was still there afterwards. You're right, because at the end, he's going and touching it again. to live in some sort of moment. I don't know what.
Who of us hasn't gone to our quarters to touch our crystal?
Oh, Lord.
I'm touching my crystal right now.
Oh, God.
You know?
Oh, Lord.
No. It's like it's too early for this.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been up way too long for that.
Sorry, the joke was just right there, man.
It was. The crystalline entity is not amused.
I've been racking my brain for a couple days trying to figure out a way they could, like, do a time jump on this show. Just so I can see everybody in the Monster Maroons.
Yeah.
I want to see a whole crew wearing these things. I mean, it was slightly updated. The sleeves were different, and the collar had a different cut. But man, was it nice.
Yeah. It was well done. Yeah. It was, you know, well done.
We do have a clip of the producer of Strange New Worlds talking about what we can expect in season 2. Do you want to hear that now?
Yeah, I'm for it.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
Let me get it pulled up.
Okay.
We endeavored not to play it safe.
Great.
We endeavored to try to make the show... We are trying to do a version of the show that you have become familiar with, but we're trying to do a bigger, crazier, more ambitious version. One that I don't think we could have done season 1.
Yeah.
And one of which, you know, we are working very, very hard to achieve in season 2. There are a bunch of threads that are, you know, up in the air at the end of the season. Obviously, we don't know where Lon is. Number one is in prison. There's a
be right back.
What the hell is going to happen to them?
Yeah.
We will answer all those questions.
Great.
We're going to see more of Spock's love life.
Awesome.
Let me see what else.
A little more
to
Pring, maybe.
A little more to Pring. We're going to see. Trek, I will say this.
Okay.
We're going to see Trek do something that it's never done before.
Amazing.
We're going to see it do something it's never done before.
Yeah.
Well, we just saw something that we've seen several times over the past couple of years of us doing this show together, and that is Dan exiting the car right in the middle of the show to go rescue a puppy or something. So we don't know what he just took off to do, but that's what he took off. Something. So
what do you think the new thing is going to be?
The new thing that's never been done before?
Yeah.
Geez, what hasn't been done? I mean... Holodeck episodes take them every... Yeah, there you go. It's a puppets episode. They all turn into puppets.
They all turn into puppets.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to see time jump. I really don't. Other than maybe, from one season to the next.
Like this. You know?
Yeah, I mean, like one season to the next, maybe 6 months have gone by kind of thing or whatever. I don't know. But not a giant time jump. Like, as in going into the future, back to, whatever, the past or anything else like that. But I don't know. I mean, so much has been done. We're looking at 55 plus years of Trek at this point, or whatever it is, almost 55. So a lot's been done. So how could they say that it's never been done before?
My guess.
Maury Povich moment? I don't know.
You are the space daddy?
You are the space daddy.
Yeah. My thought is they're probably going to introduce like a new villain that we've never seen before. And
but they've introduced villains we've never seen before. So I mean, if I'm taking it literally, like he said, then maybe it's the crossover stuff, because we haven't really seen a lot of crossovers between different shows and different times. And they've hinted at a crossover stuff with Discovery, so maybe that's what we're looking at here is the crossover stuff. Or crossover with their soon-to-do Section 31, if that's not completely dead, which I still say it is, but they say it's not.
Or maybe the crossover, the thing we've never seen before, is some of the cartoon characters becoming live action.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I would love to see, Quaid.
Yeah, as Boimler.
At Boimler, yeah.
Tawny Newsome as Mariner.
Yep, I'd love to see them.
Somehow they time travel because they would fit.
Yep. They could do a lot of things with that would be interesting. So maybe that's what it is a crossover stuff.
Yeah, like we crossed over with the cartoons. That you've never seen that before.
Never seen that before, yeah. Well, and even the cartoons that came from the animated, the stuff from the animated series, because from the animated series, there's a whole bunch of species there we've never seen before outside of the cartoon. So that could be it as well. And you could that call could that a crossover, I guess, if you wanted to, but not really. That would just be rehashing something, but I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. That'll be interesting. Looking forward to it, though.
What should be just product placement? Like they have Sprite in the future, because that's something we've never seen before.
Yeah, yeah. Would you like a Coke?
Yeah. Taco Bell is the only restaurant still open, sir.
That's right. That's right. Here comes Dan back now.
Oh, here he comes.
We'll see. How many puppies did you save?
Talking about him.
What's that?
How many puppies did you save?
Talking about him.
Yeah, yeah.
Something just came up. I had to take care of it.
Sorry, all right, no worries. We were talking about what this thing is that the producers were talking about for next season is going to be. Something that they've never done before in Trek is what he alluded to, that we're going to see in season two of
My guess is that they're going to cross over with cartoons because they've never done that before. So maybe Boimler or Mariner will somehow travel or something like that.
Yeah, my guess was just crossovers, period, but who knows?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Star Trek Infinity War.
Chaz in our chat says it's going to be about the three seashells and how they don't know how to use them.
Right. They're going to get Phoenix.
We've never had a Star Trek full-on crossover.
No.
Where, you know, two complete casts that we know interact with each other through one storyline. We've had, you know, one or two characters from this show sprinkled in over here and vice versa. You know, they've done that a few times, but we've never had a full-on crossover. So right. I'm wondering how that would work with or without time travel of some sort. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I like how we're both of the same mind. It seems like really all three of us might be the same mind here as far as it being a crossover. But I would like to see that. I don't necessarily mean that I want to see a bunch of Discovery people in Strange New Worlds. But then again, we already saw that.
Yeah, I don't think that'll be it. I think it'll be either Picard or Lower Decks that crosses over if they're going to do it.
Or the new Section 31, yeah.
Yeah.
We could see that back again. Well,
they keep threatening us with that.
They do. It feels like a damn threat to see Ash Tyler again. I just, I can't. I mean, I will because, you know, we suffer for the people. But you more so than the other two of us, Daniel, because you watched the Will Wheaton show.
This last Will Wheaton show was the most watchable.
It looked good. That clip, terrible. That clip is from them being in Pike's quarters. And it's, yeah, it looked good. It looked good.
Yeah. Well, so they did their interview in like Pike's like little breakfast nook area that he has, but then they also showed off a new set that's going to be what they call the galley, and I mean it looks awesome. It kind of looks like that bar that we went to in Chicago, the fancy one.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's really open and pretty cool. So
what was the name of that place?
I don't remember.
It was at the top of the hotel that Gentry stayed in.
Yeah,
Voodoo or
I think it was Voodoo.
Voodoo,
or
yeah.
View, or was it View? But like
View, it was like
View. Yeah, View. VU.
I'm gonna call it Gentry's Attic.
There that's you go, Gentry's Attic. Yeah. Yeah. Anytime we go to Chicago, we have to go to Gentry's Attic.
Yep.
There we go.
Just like I went to that Chinese place last time I was up in Chicago.
Fat Fats.
Yeah, I went to Fat Fat again.
Fat Fat.
Yep, went to Fat Fat. Nice. Okay, so is there anything else that the three of us want to cover with this season ender or the season being done, the last episode, all that stuff before we get into the feedback?
Well, we should let people know that we are going to take next week off, and then we'll come back with another episode. We don't know yet when anything is kicking off again. We don't know when season, you know, 15 of Lower Deck starts or the next card, or like they haven't announced that yet. They did say that they're going to make some announcement at Comic-Con in a couple weeks. So I imagine that's going to be the announcement, say Lower Deck starts back up, you know, whatever date. So
that July 23rd, I think is what it is. Does that fall? Yeah. Does that fall? Let's go look at the month view here. If I can.
That's a Saturday. So literally the next day we do an episode, we could.
Okay. So we can cover whatever. Yeah. So yeah, when we come back in 2 weeks, we'll cover whatever was talked about at Comic-Con. And maybe we'll have some dates and releases and all that kind of stuff. So that's perfect.
All right. Did you, before we do feedback, did you guys watch The Orville?
I did not.
I did. Yeah.
You didn't?
I haven't watched. I think I'm on like the third episode, something like that. Go for it. Is it getting better? Is it getting better? Is there hope for it? Even though it's supposedly the only season, the last season?
There's still a little too long of episodes, but for what it is, it was good.
Yeah.
It was really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's definitely some fat that they could trim, but yeah.
See, I don't want to ruin it for you.
Yeah. It's good, Chad. You should watch it.
All right. I'll watch it. I'll be on the road this week, so I'll have time to finally watch
it. It's good.
Stuff.
You should watch it.
So, okay.
Dan, you saw Thor, right?
I saw Thor.
So did I. Chad, have you seen Thor yet?
Nope.
Okay.
Talk about it, though, because I'm not really – I don't know when I'm going to watch it because, I mean, these latest Marvel movies for me are just kind of like, who cares? I mean, the
– What'd you think of it, Dan?
I liked it.
We don't have to get too into it, but just, you know, overall impressions.
I liked it. Okay. Yeah, I get the feeling you didn't like it so much.
No, my thought is it was fine. It wasn't, like, amazing. It wasn't terrible. Yeah. It was fine.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Does Natalie Portman pull it off as Mrs. Thor?
She does good.
Yep.
Dude, she's an Academy Award winning actress. She's great.
Yeah,
but that doesn't mean she can pull off a superhero. I mean...
She's good. She's good.
She's playing a superhero who's been a superhero for 3 days. So
Oh, well, okay.
She pulls it off.
Okay, that makes sense.
She pulls it off. You know, for the haters out there, you know, you got to realize that this is the fourth installment in this franchise, in the Thor franchise, and that's not even counting all of the other movies that he appeared in along the way. So how many franchises go four movies and it's still amazing? Not many.
Fast and Furious, that's about it.
I mean, only Godzilla, right?
I've never seen any of those movies. Godzilla has done that. I have no idea.
Everyone knows the fourth Planet of the Apes is the best. But anyway. I liked it. You know, what I've always liked about the Thor movies is they're not afraid to have fun with it. They're not afraid to do the comedy. And... Yeah. You know, just things like they kind of made it so Mjolnir and Stormbreaker have personalities, and they're jealous. They're jealous of each other, and you know that was funny. That was good.
That was funny.
You know, and retconning the reason that we're not ruining anything for you, Chad. But
no,
you know, Jane has cancer, and Mjolnir makes her healthy. That's why she's a superhero, because she's holding the hammer. But it's because Thor unknowingly, spoiler alert to anyone who's going to be upset about it, Thor unknowingly, 8 years earlier, enchanted the hammer the same way that Odin did, where he was talking to the hammer one day. Jane got up to get a drink or whatever, and he said, "Promise me you'll always take care of her." Promise me you'll always protect her. And what he didn't see is on the backside of the hammer, a new glyph was created. The same way when Odin spoke to the hammer and said, you know, whoever shall possess this hammer, if he be worthy, shall possess the powers of Thor. And the glyphs started to appear on the other side. So I like how they retroactively, and I don't know if that's from the comics. I don't know. Huh. I didn't
it's not, read comics but that's okay.
after
it's fine.
1988.
Yeah,
but
no, I saw a YouTube video of like the differences between the comics and the movie, and that's not in the comics, but it's fine. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. And it's Disney, 2022 Disney, so you know they got to put the woke stuff in there. They're gonna make this character gay and blah 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 blah. And it's like I'm to the point where it's like, just enjoy the movie, man. You know, my son is gobbling popcorn and loving every minute of it.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
I still want my Beta Ray Bill, man.
Still
Although,
what?
I think live action, he's going to look terrifying.
Yeah, I think terrible is what he would look like.
Yeah. That may be why he hasn't been done. Like, they've done renderings, and it's just like, we can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I enjoy the comedy. I enjoy the comedy and how it's, you know, it's subtle enough that you can still take the movie as a whole seriously while laughing at this certain scene. Like, Zeus. Was that Russell Crowe?
That was Russell Crowe.
Oh, okay. Lord.
Yeah. So Russell Crowe plays Zeus, but he plays Zeus with a Greek accent.
Yeah.
But not a Greek accent like you would assume a Greek emperor of the time would speak. A Greek accent like a guy who's selling you a gyro.
That yes.
type of, oh, Lord.
It's accent, fantastic.
Which oh, is, man. You know, which is very similar to an Italian. You know, old Italian guy.
Yeah.
So, you should be quiet. You're no speaker now.
Yes. It's great.
And it's great. And it's great.
I did hear some people walking out talking like that.
Oh, the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Idaho. So.
Yeah. I liked it. I enjoyed it. My son was jamming out to Guns N' Roses because that's peppered through the whole movie, not just the previews. Yeah. So on the way home, you know, in my truck, I queued up Appetite for Destruction, and you know, I was jamming out with a 9-year-old boy.
There you go. Yeah.
Thinking, nice. You know, I was about this age when that album came out, so that was fun.
That's cool.
That was good. Yeah. Had a good time.
Well, good.
So you guys going to watch She-Hulk? When's that come out for Marvel stuff?
August,
that's the
I
next.
Think?
That's the next one, isn't it? Next month?
Yeah.
Next Marvel anything?
I will watch She-Hulk. I'm kind of excited about She-Hulk.
It looks funny.
I read She-Hulk in the late 80s.
Yeah.
And her second series came out in the late 80s, and I got funny She-Hulk story. So it was probably 1988. Yeah, it was probably 1988. For my birthday, my mom said, here, you can pick two comic books and order a subscription. So it was a year-long subscription. So I chose the new Todd McFarlane Spider-Man series that was coming out. And She-Hulk had a new series coming out, so I wanted, you know, I wanted to have two number ones, you know,
right? There you go.
That was a big deal.
Yeah.
Oh, that always is. Yeah.
So I really didn't know anything about She-Hulk back then, except that she had a new series coming out, and it was going to be a number one, and I was going to have a number one. So I ordered it, and not knowing that that series, that's when they started doing it somewhat as a comedy, where she would break the fourth wall. She was doing that before Deadpool.
Oh yeah.
So. I mean, there was one issue where she tore the page open to escape. And the person she was with, like, where are we? She's like, we're in a price guide. And they were in a comic book price guide of the times. So, you know, they did stuff like that. They did stuff like that. But I'm actually in the letters column of one of those early issues. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yep. So a little 11-year-old me wrote a letter to She-Hulk.
We got to find that somewhere and read it on the air.
Yeah.
Oh, I have it.
There's a rumor.
You better bring it next show. We'll read it.
Yeah.
I will not.
what comic number is it? Maybe I can go find it. Oh, now he's not telling me.
Go find it. Go find it. I'm not going to help you.
Oh, okay. Man.
All right. Well, it's got to be within the first 12, right? Because that's what he said.
Yeah, exactly. You know what's funny?
That's easy to
find. It's a different time that we live in now. Because I have the issue. I have the issue. But I look at it, and my full address is printed in the back of this comic book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, it's just, I don't know, it's a different time. I feel like that would be okay. That would not be okay nowadays.
No,
it would not be. There is a rumor that in this in the She-Hulk show, at one point they actually go to Marvel.
They probably go to a business named Marvel. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
probably. Like, but
well, if I remember correctly, in the Marvel universe, well, yeah, no, there are comic books in the Marvel universe.
Sure.
Of
yeah.
Marvel superheroes.
Yep.
We see the kids reading them in Captain America: The First Avenger.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, that's right. Yeah.
So I'm sure, you know, I'm sure there is a Marvel Comics in continuity.
Well, in Doctor Strange, cool. they talk about how Wanda's off the lunchbox. Like, there's merchandise.
Yeah, yeah. They talk about merchandising. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I mean, in Thor,
there's toys and.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Thor, there's a Asgardian theme park. So you know. Yeah.
Which just makes me wonder how Falcon was so broke.
He's really bad at business negotiations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just like, can we use your image? Sure. doesn't how negotiate does he not, anything with
yeah.
it.
Yeah. He's, I mean, in yeah. that whole show, the main thrust of it was, is he's broke. He has no money.
Yeah. I, you know, that's the one thing about that show that I didn't really buy. If, you know, I know Tony Stark is dead. But I'd be knocking on the door at, you know, Stark Enterprises.
Yeah.
Like, I need to talk to Happy Hogan. Yeah. You need to buy my sister's boat. You need to pay off my sister's boat for me.
Yeah.
Okay, I gave 5 years. Gave 5 years of my life. I was zipped away for 5 years. I, you know, I was in jail because of this whole thing. And
yeah.
Buy my boat.
I mean, with the Sokovia Accords, if they're under, you know, the jurisdiction of every nation. Because of that treaty, you would think they would get some sort of stipend for, like, you know, if
somehow.
We're going to dispatch you at any time we need to for an event, then you would deserve a compensation.
Maybe it's because technically he wasn't really a superhero. He was just a guy in a suit.
It doesn't matter. He's part of the squad.
I know. So is Iron Man, though. He's just a guy in a suit.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to feedback.
All right. We're ready for feedback. Here we go. Finally.
Hailing frequencies. Open.
Boo. Okay, so the first thing I'm going to do with the feedback is play the voicemail that we got from this last week, which we have, I believe, two of them. If I'm not going to screw this up again, I'll play the first one now.
If Scott Can You Can presents...
No, I think I already played that one, didn't I?
Yeah.
No. This is a new one.
Star Trek. Strange New Worlds. A quality... of Mercy, a pack-led review.
Nice.
Future Pike make now Pike, later Pike. Time travel give me headache. This has been Star Trek, Strange New Worlds, a quality of Mercy, a pack-led review. For a transcript of this review, email ifscottcanyoucan@gmail.com.
Transcript.
Did we ever find out if that's a real email address?
Oh, I don't know. Probably is, honestly.
Yeah, somebody email it, and if it's a real email address, and he responds, send us the...
Yeah, I want a transcript.
Scott, just email us from it. That's it.
Like, yeah.
That'll do it.
Well, that's... I don't think that's... That's not Scott. That's Gentry.
What?
What?
Isn't that... Wasn't that Gentry? That sounds like Gentry's voice. If Scott can, you can. That's still Scott. I'm totally, I don't know, whatever.
That's Scott.
All right. I'm not looking at the phone numbers. I guess I got to put these guys in my contacts so then I know who's calling.
What did you smoke before the show?
I'm telling you what, I am so freaking exhausted. I had a hell of a week. And
that's
I'm just,
what it is.
I don't know. Where. That's why all the buttons are wrong on the new phone. Whatever. Here we go. Here's another one.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on. Great season of television. I've never had a show that had me on engaged from the first minute of the season to the last. Everything was well thought out. There were not too many head scratchers. The photogenic cast were so fun to watch. Some more than others. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more. But every character was not the same person in season or in episode 10, the personal growth were was noticeable. Every problem overcame were earned, not Mary sued. This season had it all, but a body swap, hijinks, space battles, ethical dilemmas, fairy tale, and the alien's homage. Most of the critics, like Trek Culture, Steve Shives, IGN, and Trek Yards gave the overall season great marks. It has even impressed Dave Cullen. IGN gave the season a perfect 10, not an easy feat. And how can you not appreciate Anson Mount as Pike? Ever since his appearance in the second season of Disco, the guy was what Trek sorely needed, an open-minded and collaborative, confident presence who did not take himself too seriously. His management style is the wet dream of every modern corporation. My only gripe is that Kirk, while really cool to see him, played perfectly fine as a captain of the week, but as actually James T. Kirk, I'm not feeling it. Kirk comes with too much baggage.
Did he cut out?
Nope. It's still, he's got another minute here. What happened? Hold on a second.
It's Baggett. We know him too well. I mean, we can say the same with Uhura and Chapel, but in throughout canon, except in the comic books or in the novels, we don't really know them as well as James T. Kirk. So that's my only thing. But in general, I love the episodic nature. It worked great in Lower Decks. Speaking of which, how about the ending with someone getting arrested like in Lower Decks? The season-long arch style is hit or miss. You have to keep the storyline very tight and very strong from beginning to end, and Trek mostly missed. In the end, you can say you didn't like Strange New Worlds, but you cannot say it wasn't great Trek. What did you guys think about my take? Thanks a lot.
That's it. That's Hipster Spock. No, I think that's right. I think he hits it on all accords there, and I didn't even think about that with someone got arrested at the end of the season, just like they did on Lower Decks with.
I thought about that too.
I didn't think about that.
I'm like,
I was surprised that he didn't. You know, he got forceful with the security officer, and I was really surprised he didn't just go ahead and say, "Screw it, you're off my ship." And if somebody wants to take her off my ship, then you better have the admiral standing here. You know, I was surprised he didn't go the next step and be more forceful, knowing what he knows.
Pike does follow the rules, though, man.
He does. He does. And so
he'll
get her back by following the rules.
Yeah. I think he knows he has to be captain of the Enterprise on the day that this incident happens.
Yeah.
And if he does certain things, he will not be captain of the Enterprise.
Yeah.
And he's going to ruin the future. So, you know.
As if he didn't have a heavy enough weight on him already.
Right.
He's got an even heavier one now.
Do you think they're going to somehow cheat out? Like, will there be a double? Will they find a way to somehow he's okay and not at the same time?
They can't now. No. You know, I often wondered if they were going to do that and reboot TOS and the whole nine yards, but they still could, but they would ruin everything they've built so far if they did.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah. No, it's too much now.
Yeah, like, it is too much.
To be that sacrifice.
It does. It does.
I think this is a tragic story. I think that's what they're building. This is a tragic story. It's a tragic character. We know it doesn't end well for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the story.
Shakespearean that way.
Yeah. The story is not. Where does he end up? The story is what happens to him along the way.
Very much so. Very much so. Let's see. So we're ready to get some
and
of the
he
guys.
He doesn't even get paid.
Do what?
And he doesn't even get a paycheck. That's their future. They don't get paid.
That's true.
They could. Let me think something. they could pay some, they could pay it off further down the road. Mm-hmm. We know pretty much nothing about the life of Captain Pike once he's dropped off at Talos to live out the rest of his days in his chair, in his mind.
Yeah.
So theoretically, things could play out the way they did, and then they discover some new medical technology and go back and get him and go back and fix him, and, you know, he can go about living a somewhat normal life in reality. But I think that would cheapen everything.
Yeah.
Well, that's come before.
That planet with the first servant flat out said that they had those little nanobots that could fix literally anything.
Yeah.
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 So
that's true. That's true.
There's your fix.
Yeah. And as much as, I mean, on one hand, I don't want them to, because it does, it cheapens everything and it kind of ruins all of that stuff. But at the same time, you know, do we only want Anson Mount in one television series for 4 or 5 years and that's it? Yeah.
I mean, no, but,
yeah,
you know, that may be not what he wants.
That's true.
You know what? You know what? We wanted more Picard.
Yep.
We wanted so much more Picard.
Yeah, I know. Look what we got.
And are we and we got it. And are we better off for it? I don't think we are.
No, we're not.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So with that said, you have any emails or anything else over there on your end?
I do. Well, let's let people in the meantime put their X up if they want to do the voice.
Yep.
And in the meantime, I'll read an email. So I got an email from Vince. He says that he enjoys the podcast and our discussions of Strange New World. And he says, I like what the writers have done with the Gorn, but for the life of me, I cannot figure out how the creature in episode 9 became a spacefaring species. They are described as an apex predator with stronger hatchlings killing off the weaker hatchlings. From these creatures, how do you get the cooperation necessary to construct, maintain, and pilot massive ships that we saw in the earlier episodes? Thoughts?
So I have an easy explanation for that. And it's so easy that it's almost a cop-out, but whatever.
Okay.
So what we've seen of the Gorn so far are 5-day-old, 10-day-old, you know, not even a month-old babies, right?
They're rowdy teenagers.
They're rowdy. Well, even so, that's how they're born and that's how they start. And we know of multiple species just here on Earth that go through a transition that's more than just growing up and going through teenage years. They even go into a full cocoon and chrysalis, right, to transform from a caterpillar to a butterfly. And so there's nothing saying that this particular species, which has been obviously from whatever planet they come from, the evolutionary pressure to be dominant is extremely strong, to have all of these genetic traits that they have, whether they were engineered that way later or they were adapted that way over time first, we don't know. I would love to get a little more backstory on that end of it, but clearly there's got to be something that happens to these guys as they grow to where they mature into, you know, but, you know, look at the Klingons as well. The Klingon culture, taken at face value, you would never see them as being technically savvy compared to anybody else because they're constantly fighting with one another. And they don't seem to have that strong scientific background where they look down on that. We've gotten a lot of fillers of that over time to understand why, because it's more of like, for them, it was more of like in the early days here, the Muslim society was the most advanced and had all this great technical math first and optics and all this kind of stuff. And then because
that's
of
why
warring,
we have glasses.
Yeah, exactly. And because of warring constantly with one another, they tore themselves down and other people became technically advanced. But it was part of their culture to begin with. We're just seeing them at different stages and times.
Right.
Kind of like the Gorn. I would say with the Gorn, we're just seeing the babies. We're not seeing what their adult version looks like, and it could be vastly different.
We're also seeing the immature, we're also seeing the babies and the children in the absence of adults.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Which is, you know, we know from The Lord of the Flies that children operate differently when there's no authority figure around.
That's true.
So, you know, these hatchlings will immediately fight for dominance because there's no adult.
Yeah.
If there was an adult Gorn right there, There is no fight for dominance. You're not dominant.
Right.
Yeah.
There's an adult
right there.
We don't
just know that from Lord of the Flies. We know that from reality TV. When there's no mature right. adults, people act like idiots. So
cash me outside. How about that? So,
well, there's no Gorn there at the flashlight to actually talk to him.
Yeah. Right.
Right. It's the other thing. You know, there's no language.
Yet. Yeah.
They haven't learned to communicate with each other yet. Yeah. They're savages at this point.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Who knows?
No, I think that's good points.
I would love to hear more. I'd love to know more about the Gorn. I mean, that's a good one that they can explore, can continue to explore, because there's nothing else there other than what's now been established. So I would love to know more and have that be a reoccurring villain every once in a while.
We had a lot of people just basically say how much they loved Strange New Worlds and how excited that they are and they can't wait for more. So that's cool. Like, literally dozens and dozens of people commenting that. So seems like it was very well reviewed. I know that this is probably the highest rated first season of any Star Trek show.
Yes.
Oh, it has to be. Easily the best. It broke the chain of the first seasons always being a little meh, you know, big time. Yeah. This is an excellent first season to the point to where, man, how do you top this in season two?
Yeah.
And the only way you can top it is to just keep doing the same thing.
You know, when we went into this, I warned people to be wary that this series could not be good because it's the same producers as Discovery and all the other shows, right? And I'm glad to know that I was wrong about that. But I'm also frustrated to know that I was wrong about that and that these producers are capable of something good. And what the hell has been going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Well, I could explain
that. I hate to say it, but, you know, I mean, we all love Anson Mount. We all love everyone else on this show. But they do not have the star power that Patrick Stewart has.
Right.
And I can't help but wonder if it was, hey, Patrick, we want you to come back and do this show. Okay. But I want to do this, and I want to do this, and I want to do this, and we want to have this happen, and this, and this, and this. And I don't want to blame the missteps of the show on Patrick Stewart, but we can't ignore the fact that he had a creative hand. What happened?
Yeah, he was there in the writer's room from day one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which just boggles the mind. That just boggles the mind.
No.
I just don't understand that. That makes it worse, you know?
That does make it worse.
And we've known
that
this whole time, but it's just like whenever I do think about it, it's kind of like, really? Really? Okay.
It makes
then.
You wonder the things that they told him. Maybe let's go a different way, Patrick.
Yeah.
We're not going to do that, Patrick.
Yeah, I mean.
This was them rearing him in.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Well, and maybe that's part of the issue where you've got so many, just like with anything else, you've got so many ingredients in the soup and you say, wait, we're going overboard, and you pull out those one or two ingredients that could have ended up balancing everything out, and now it just makes it taste like shitty soup.
There are a lot of cooks in the kitchen with these shows. I mean, you look at any of the credits. There's like 20 producers.
Pea stew, that's right. They made it pea stew.
Yeah.
Good one, Chaz.
So wait, do we think JL was Patrick Stewart's idea?
No, I think that was her idea.
I don't know.
And they just let it. And Patrick probably thought it was funny and said, go with it. I think that's funny. And nobody liked it at all.
Yeah.
Okay, we ready for.
A couple of people throw some X's up. So
yep, so Chaz is ready. I'm going to unmute Chaz. Give us your feedback, Chaz, for this latest episode and, of course, the season overall, since it's the season ender for season one, Strange New Worlds.
Okay. I thought the season. I'm with Mike Medina, and the season was a little too short. I like to see it go on a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And, I mean, overall, I think this first season's the best Star Trek season for first season.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way to...
Next Gen, DS9, Voyager.
Yeah.
If you think about it, it's a really good season.
Yeah.
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 I don't think there's any way
but
to top it.
But do you think that it helped that it's a limited number of episodes, too? Like, it... kind of made them get away.
I think it could have had a maybe a couple more, maybe make it 12 or 14, but it just
but the fact that it was so short that they could only do good stuff, like it helped reduce any bad filler episodes.
I think that helped a lot, where you didn't have, you know, the candle episode, so you didn't have anything like that. No ghosts. No candles.
Ace, go! Yeah.
Oh, man.
And it's kind of nice that we're not getting stinkers like that, because we always forget there's stinkers in Star Trek. So.
Oh, absolutely.
You see the episode and you're like, oh, not this one. And I'm a purist where I had to watch every episode.
Yep.
I had to watch it from beginning to end, and I can't watch like in between. I start the whole series over from the beginning.
I do the same thing. Yep.
And I'll never do that for Disco, because I'm done with Disco.
You know, it's fair funny. I've said over and over again that that's not a show I can ever try to watch. Yet I did start season one over the wintertime into the early spring, and watched season one all the way through. And with everything, knowing what's going to happen later and comes after it, season one actually feels pretty good.
Well, season one was like, we were somewhat excited for season one, and then season two introduced Anson Mount and Pike, and we're like, okay, this could be good. And then season two, like, I don't know, it just
nosedived.
Yeah,
the Red Angel thing was terrible.
Yes, that story arc was bad. And then they go to the future, and then they have detached nacelles on the ship, and it's just stupid. And space Jesus saves everybody. So. And I just do not like Disco, and it's hard. I'll finish the series, but it's just, it's almost like background noise, like clean the house, have Disco on in the background, and pick up on the bits and pieces. And it's not like,
you know,
I've heard somebody say,
I forget where it was, but somebody said that Discovery is a young adult show, very much a CW show, designed to bring in a younger audience and hopefully keep them forever. I can kind of see that now.
I like to see the numbers of how many people are watching Disco compared to...
I would love to see that, but they don't show that.
I don't feel it.
I don't believe that. If it was on network television, I would believe that, but it's not.
Right.
It's on a pay service that it was the flagship show launch.
Yep.
So it was people, you know, the people watching it is the people who were looking for it.
Right.
So I don't buy that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with Picard, a lot of people have bailed on Picard because of season two.
A lot of people
so disappointed. And they're pure Star Trek fans. And like on Twitter, I've seen other people like, this is horrible. It's not Star Trek. And what is going on with this series?
Yeah.
And you got season three, and they're bringing the main cast back. But are they going to bastardize the main cast too, like they did Picard? So.
Who knows?
Oh, I'm sure they will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's his last one, right? Season three of Picard is his last season.
Yeah.
And so. I was so excited for the series. It's like, how could you ruin this great series?
Yeah.
I was like, you had such a great classical character everybody loved, and you bring him back, and you just nosedive.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then, now, Strange New Worlds, the season finale, I actually liked last week's episode better. I almost kind of wish that was the season finale with the death. I think it would have hit harder than this one. And maybe have this one like next season or something, like later on. Because I almost think he faced his demon too quick. Like his fate of going into the future and saying, like, if I choose this path, I can start a whole war and people die. And then if I go this other way, I die, but I save the other people. So.
Yeah. But I think that the instinct for self-preservation is so strong in just anybody. Like, this is a thing you can keep coming back to, even though like you might have resolution, just like anything, like you might feel motivated for one thing, but you know, motivation fades. And so you, you got to constantly renew it or constantly revisit it.
And another question is, Spock was charbroiled at the end. What do Vulcans taste like?
Oh, jeez.
Ooh, I'm going to guess lemon pepper. Like
frog legs?
Chicken.
Or do they taste like chicken?
Chicken. Everything tastes like chicken.
Yeah.
I almost think that it had the texture of frog legs with the green blood. So.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Maybe.
It's like, and, you know, maybe they taste like that. But it was kind of sad to see Spock like that.
That was horrible.
Yeah.
And Nurse Chapel's reaction to it. Yeah.
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 And Kirk this episode, ooh, I don't know. It's like he needed a girdle and a hairpiece. So. Somebody a little thick around the edges, you know, just can barely fit in that suit, but it's just a size, you know. Somebody went to McDonald's and ordered the super size before they put the uniform on. So
I liked him. I thought he did good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think he did fine.
Well, it's kind of like
episodes, and it's hard because it's such a, you know, legacy character, and
right.
It's kind of like the new version of Superman on CW. Like,
oh yeah,
that guy playing Superman does a fantastic job. He just doesn't look like Superman. He's too thin.
Yeah,
kind of like this guy, right? So, but oh. And in terms of him getting to the arc, you know, and trying to get through that in one season, and maybe that's fast, I'm okay with it getting done in one season, because I don't want to have to hear about it 5 seasons in, because we know it's coming, right? Now, I want to hear it at some point in the future, but I don't want to have to hear it, you know, every episode, every other episode or whatever, because, again, stick to the episodic nature, right? And they did a great job of balancing the episodic nature with, you know, everything still sticks from one episode to the other in this season. And I want to see them continue to do that. And so they got to have something different that hangs over the whole season for the next season, instead of it being the same thing. Otherwise, it would just be like Burnham always saving the galaxy every single season.
Mm-hmm. Do you think when Spock, or not Spock, Pike goes into the wheelchair and it's all damaged, do you think they'll have the episode where Spock takes them to the planet and like on the, what's the name of the episode where he hijacks him?
The Menagerie.
Yeah.
The Menagerie. Yeah. Yes. And he takes them and he meets up with the lady and then they live happily ever after.
Maybe that's the way
it will be a shot for shot remake of that. I think ultimately this is just, like we've been saying, it's just going to reboot TOS.
Well, my hope on that end is that's how this series ends, is with Spock taking him in a shuttlecraft and taking off.
And do you think they should continue with TOS, or do you think they should stop there?
I think it depends on how they set it up.
Yeah, I'm of two minds on that.
It's too early to tell right now.
I think they're going to, but I don't know if I want them to.
I really would like to get where Picard is, like, I don't want to go back in time. I want to go to what happened after DS9, Voyager, all them. 20 years later, what does the next generation look like?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's why they ruined that with Rios. I wanted to see, all they had to do was have a Rios series with him on the bridge with the doctor, and it would have been fantastic, and people would have, an episodic version of that, and people would have loved it and watched it. It would have been very cheap for them to make because the set was already there, and the actors aren't huge names to where they'd have to pay him a whole bunch of money. Yep. They could have just taken it right off from there, and it would have been perfect, but they ruined it.
Stargazer.
Right. Stargazer, yep. Star Trek, Stargazer, that's it.
I mean, you have a Meat Gazer episode, and then do that, so.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, man. Well, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. We got to get over to Taryn next.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. Taryn, I'm going to unmute you. Let us know what you thought of the final season in the first series, or final episode anyway, in the first series, Strange New Worlds.
Hey, guys. First off, thanks for a great season of covering it. It was an awesome season. I mean, people are saying, like, it's the best first season of Trek, but you could also say it's one of the best seasons of Trek. out there. I mean,
they
did a good job. And it, like to Daniel's point, it is surprising that these are the same folks that gave us Discovery and Picard. You know, but it's really carried by the cast. I think they're just their performances and how they were able to capture the essence of the characters and still put a slightly updated twist to them. I think that was really appreciated. But it comes down to storylines. It was really good stories. This last episode, anytime you have time travel, you're going to have arguments, opinions. I think Janeway put it best, is it just gives her a headache so she doesn't even think about it. She just puts him back in the transporter. I think that's what makes it great is the way they did it. And it's kind of like the way Orville did it. And I think I was one of the first ones, you know, I didn't see Orville until I saw Dan's post that said, oh my God, it was great. And I'm like, oh, I wasn't even looking forward to watching Orville because it just dragged on. And this is the first episode this season that I'm like, it didn't feel like it was that long. Yeah. It didn't feel like it needed the comedy. In fact, it was like, wow, this is a really good story. And it shows the range of it. And I think it's funny how at the same timing, and it kind of paralleled where Strange New Worlds was, it's like, wow, this is like really starting to get really good as far as storylines and the way they're handling characters and the acting. That's what I think made it really good. But back to Strange New Worlds, I mean, overall, season-wise, I'm still surprised they pulled a Game of Thrones on Hammer. And I'm worried that they might bring him back as another character, so I don't know if they're trying to reboot him as the next Jeffrey Combs for this show, where he's going to start playing multiple characters. You know, and it'll be interesting to see where they go.
We haven't seen the last Hammer.
Yeah, and I'm kind of worried what they said in the Ready Room where, Star Trek's going to do something they've never done before. I'm like, yeah, but you did so well this season. Why change it? I know you want to push the envelope a little bit, but don't break what's working, right? Don't break what's not broken, or don't fix what's not broken. And that's my only concern moving forward for waiting for next season. So can't wait for that, but... Did you guys see the clip of Lower Decks, the trailer clip where he's Boimler's in the grape farm or the vineyard? It's hilarious, and it's a total throwback to TNG and Picard and, you know, his vineyard and everything. But it's done in a funny way. But I can't wait for that one.
Raisins. And then, like, that's all raisins. They do.
It's not wine, it's just raisins.
Yeah.
And everyone's like hitting on him, and he's like totally like oblivious to it. It's
women want him, and he's just like, yeah, whatever.
Oh, that's funny.
Yes, white grapes go with the white barrel, and red grapes go in the red barrel. Jeez, can you understand this? But
you take me to that secluded room and show me? Yeah, look, I already told you.
I like the way they throw it back to Picard. And I think one comment I had on Paul Wesley is, when I went back and watched Balance of Terror, Shatner played Kirk very serious. He didn't have the same exact swagger that he normally does, that almost arrogance in a sense. So I don't blame Paul Wesley for playing Kirk that way in this episode. I wonder how he's going to play it next season, since some of those leak shots already show he's going to be there. So I'm kind of wondering how that's going to work, because, it didn't feel like Kirk, but then Balance of Terror didn't really feel like the full Kirk experience either. He kind of got that very serious, I got a job to do version of him, not
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Good.
No, I'm just thinking time travel, temporal causality, blah, 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 blah. Kirk is not Kirk yet in this episode because Pike hasn't made him Kirk yet.
Right.
Pike knows, because of this time travel, timey-wimey thing, Kirk knows what type of brash and aggressive captain is going to be required to have these things play out properly. And, you know, we see that he's getting to know Captain Kirk at the end of the episode, and we know that he's going to be back next season. And it's, I kind of feel like that's going to be the story of season two, is Pike molding him into the type of captain that he needs to be. So maybe that's why he wasn't classic Kirk the first time we saw him.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The movies kind of did.
What's that?
Yeah.
That's what the JJ movies kind of did.
Yeah.
Pike was there, which instrumental was in being a captain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they did the same thing with Spock, where he's different in the future and the past, and I think that's great development of the character, to kind of show how they got there.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I think my last comment is Picard. I mean, we all wanted TNG season 8. What we got was Picard. And I think people forget about that, and I think we didn't realize it at the time. It's like, it's just Picard. And even at the beginning, he said he wasn't intending to bring back the rest of the cast. It was about Jean-Luc Picard's story, and I think that's, people got overexcited and overhyped it, and that's probably why we got a little disappointed. But yeah, they did make a lot of mistakes down the road. I mean, we all talk about we want Strange New Worlds to be maybe 12 seasons or 12 episodes, 15 episodes maybe. Picard could have been a 4-part miniseries kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where, or season two at least could have been, because they could have wrapped that up in half the episodes that they did. And I think we would all enjoyed it better. But anyways,
I get the feeling when they did Picard, he sat them down and basically said, I want to make Inner Light the series. And that's what Picard tried to be, but they just didn't execute it well.
Yeah.
Interesting. So,
maybe that's a good thing that he only came back for a small cameo in Doctor Strange, because that was the one part everybody wanted to see. But beyond that, I think everyone's done. They're good.
Yeah.
They're happy.
Give it back to James McAvoy.
There you go.
Yeah. So. Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Well, cool. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Always appreciate everybody's feedback. Feedback is always live in our Discord channel as we record on the air. And, of course, over on YouTube, too, because we're streaming live over there as well. So I don't know if there's anybody chat over on YouTube or not. But
no, not right. I've been watching it.
Okay. Good. And I guess I needed to look at that, and that is from last week. Okay, never mind. Okay. That's it on the feedback section, I guess. No other emails or anything else? I don't know if we have anything over on the coffee account. I guess I could go and check that just for the hell of it.
But if you want to send us a voicemail for next week's episode, or 2 weeks from now, give us a call, 1-816-287-0448.
There you go.
That's 816-287-0448. Operators are not standing by. No one is waiting for your call. This is a mailbox only. Give us a call, leave us a recorded message, and we'll play it on the show.
Awesome. Thank
you. There will be no show next week, as we've been saying. We're going to take a week off, and then we'll come back.
That's correct. All right, and I actually have an outro. Who knows what this is going to be, but here we go, everybody.
Perfect.
Guys.
Well, there you have it, another episode in the can. Check us out at TrekCast.com. Also, if you would, please subscribe to us via iTunes. Leave those reviews, subscribe to us, we'll get some numbers, get up the list, get more listeners, do more shows, have more fun. But for now, we're all done. So live long and prosper, and we'll see you next week.
2 weeks, David.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. 2 weeks.
David didn't get the memo.
David didn't get the memo. No.
Get the time crystal. We'll go back in time and tell him.
We got to have a new outro.
We'll fix it in post. All right. Guys.
Bye.
See you guys.
Bye. Program complete.